please, can we request himbos?
You know, an extremely ripped and polite idiot.
You know, a really excitable himbo, please.
If you have a himbo. Okay, I think we're really keeping the spirit of all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
We are getting a little bit spooky at points.
What the fuck?
I had to blow my nose.
Take it back.
Why are they listening?
I'm having a great time. I've been day drinking, so.
And then it's like a cosmic spank.
I love this. I love you. Thank you.
Don't even think about trying to escape.
Was Kaylee Groff straight out of Shared Roads with her ditty titled The Last of Me.
No, I may be a hepcap with an ear for razzle dazzle, but that tune was simply aces.
And how? It's no crime to blow your wig at something that swell.
As we say, crumbs who don't love these tracks can make tracks. This just in, a telegram from our current events department.
Breaking news, the chef is in town and he wants to say hello.
Oh, pooh, not that bozo again.
Yes, indeed, he wants very much to say hello.
But we won't let him, will we?
Of course not! If you see the chef in your area, judge the speed of his rotation. If he is rotating quickly, do not approach the chef. That is an agitated chef.
If his speed is slow and even drone-like, then it's the perfect time to inquire about cooking classes.
The chef is currently offering courses on gumbo, bruschetta, and simple knife maintenance.
If you see the chef in your rearview mirror, that is not the chef, and you may be entitled to financial compensation.
Or not.
How can we keep track of your legal needs?
Hey. Hey. Yeah, you listening. Put that thing down and pay attention.
Listen carefully. We are not lawyers.
Sounds to tell if the chef is in your area are
distant train whistles,
an unexplainable echoing bang,
running water,
twigs,
music that you can't place coming from a moving vehicle,
coughing,
twigs but closer,
bugs that don't belong in the season that you're hearing them in,
chef-like footsteps.
Check the bottom left-hand corner of your window for any chef-like activity and get cooking, good-looking.
Now, over to you for our top story.
Oh, thank you. Our top story is bees. Back to you.
Thank you. Anyway, for now, for our penultimate story, join us for an expose into the life of local interest on an exciting trip. Take us away. There's a woman who's going to roll into town at 11:30.
11:34, to be exact.
That's when she'll pass the welcome sign. She'll reach the courthouse at 11:39 and run out of gas at precisely 11:48, never making it to the motel where she had reservations.
Midnight will pass quietly and easily. The underpaid clerk at the front desk will simply cross her name off and turn the neon vacant sign back on.
When the car runs out of gas, the woman will be confused at first. She'll sit for a second, stunned. She'll swear that not even a moment ago she had been on nearly half a tank, nowhere close to empty.
At this point, the small town will be several hundred yards behind her, the heart of it at least. The road she should have been driving on extends in front of her, twisting into a line of trees and scaling on an exponential incline. That would have been the way to her motel. Her last look at her map told her that the ore ring would be just 8 miles past town. Exceedingly close if you had a car, but a foreboding trek when your shoes were open-toed and the wind whipped freezing out of the temperature's grip.
She's going to deliver a swift kick to the front driver's side tire, and she's going to regret it. More to do with the impact on her exposed skin than the chill. The pain's going to make her clutch her foot and try and balance on her opposite. The skinny heel's going to give out, and she's going to end up flat on the asphalt, staring away from her car towards the empty, borderless shoulder.
It would take her a second to focus on the dry plain, scrub brush barely picking up the courage to become trees. There should be a building there, squat and L-shaped, with an elaborate pergola for cars to pull through. The windows on that L-shaped building across the street would all be painted.
This would not be the Oren Motel. The Oren Motel is 8 miles further up the road.
Its windows aren't painted shut, necessarily. They weren't trying to hide anything. But each pane would be streaked with a semi-opaque layer of blue, green, or yellow.
Organized into columns, forming a striped pattern, there would be no reason behind how many rows it has before it moves into a new color and repeats.
There would be three outliers, windows found outside their groupings, yellow invading blue, blue invading green, and only the hanging shards of green where it should have interrupted yellow.
Try not to think of the broken window as damage. It would be just as much as part of the building's design as its stone steps or its whitewashed paneling. To attempt a fix on the green glass would be like weeding your garden by pulling up roses.
The building won't have a sign out front. It won't have a street number. It will have its hours posted through, open every day except for Thursdays. Those are days, not hours, the woman will note when she looks at the sign.
Not that it really matters.
She wouldn't look at the hours.
She wouldn't consider the broken window, or that some of the panes were out of place.
She wouldn't be bothered by its rickety structure, or its out-of-the-way location.
She wouldn't even be bothered by the structure not appearing on her map.
Because she won't see it.
When she looks over, the building won't be there. It'll be a vacant lot, just an empty expanse with no interruption.
You'll feel, of course, that something should be there. The stars will be interrupted there, as if something squat and absent is blocking them. The dark patch of nothing will be completely vacant.
And when she sits up to look back into town, closer to her now than the Oren, she'll see nothing.
Because the town will not be there. She was only supposed to roll through town and miss her reservation.
The town was never meant to be there when she looked back.
And stop the phone. I'm getting a breaking story over the wire.
This just in. Breaking news, everyone. The chef is back in town and won't be able to hide from us much longer.
Rumor has it that he's taken refuge in a tree somewhere, but you know what they say about trees, don't you?
That was a direct question, listener. We're going to need a simple nod or shake of the head. Do you know what they say about trees?
Standard chef protocol should be applied to this wacky chap.
If you see the chef, measure his rotation speed.
Is he spinning fast? That is a dizzy chef, a giddy chef, a joyful chef.
Is he rotating slowly? Avoid that chef, it is stalking prey.
If the chef offers you cooking lessons, the chef is being pretentious. You know how to cook, why would he assume otherwise? If you take that class, he'll probably yell about how your cutting skills are amateurish. No one needs that added to their plates.
If you catch the chef watching you from the bottom left corner of your window, you have less than a minute to act.
Keep your bucket and jade knife with you at all times for the next month or so.
The community welcomes the chef back to town, but doesn't expect him to be courteous in the same way. At some point, you just need to stop setting expectations the chef can't meet. You'll only be disappointed.
And now for a word from our sponsors.
So can we take a moment actually to talk about journals? Something very near and dear to my heart.
You've been looking for a new one recently, right?
I have. I just finished filling up my old journal, and so now I'm in the market for a new one.
Mm.
But as you know, as I've like described to you in detail.
Intimate detail.
I'm very particular about the kind of journal that I like to use. I don't use lines. I like them to be big enough to fit into my...
Fit in your Horcrux bag, yeah.
To fit into my bag, yeah. But not too thick that they're too intimidating, you know, but not too thin that they're wobbly. I need like a harder cover.
Mm-hmm.
I need all of these very specific criteria. If it says anything on the cover, it's an instant turn off. I don't want anything telling me to go on an adventure. I'm like, what if I don't wanna? Don't tell me what to do.
Or like
I'm an
quotations
adult.
At the bottoms of pages.
No, I don't want that. I don't want that. I'm very particular about my journals, which is why I'm so excited this week to talk about specifically tenderly bound books.
Tenderly bound books. books is an Etsy page run by a friend of the show, Fiona. And these journals are fucking
stunning.
Rad.
Stunning. They are stunning. Scrolling through these journals is like my instant joy shot. Just scrolling through these stunningly handmade journals.
These tenderly bound books.
Tenderly Bound Books is on Instagram, where you can get a little taste of the product. Tenderly Bound Books is also going to be on Etsy.
And we'll have it linked down in the description. Right now, everything is like super like Halloween autumn themed. They're really gorgeous patterns, actually. There's several different like pumpkin designs, all of different sizes. There's like a leather bound one, and then there's some like landscape style ones that like I have been obsessed my whole life with. You know, like reporter's notebooks?
Yeah.
I've been obsessed with reporter's notebooks. And then when I was touring Charles Darwin's house, he had a little reporter's notebook that he laid horizontally to like write across that way. And I was like, this man was already a genius, what with the evolution and discovering incest and stuff. But like, this is a whole innovation with this journal. And Fiona specifically in this shop has books that are designed to do like exactly that. That like landscape reporter's notebook thing. And they're in these like pastel type colors.
Now that you're describing this journal, I kind of want to landscape journal.
You see what I'm saying?
To give it a shot. Yeah. I'm always trying to switch up my game. Also, like, just saying, these covers, they are all classy autumn themed. Mm-hmm. 100% of this is high quality, excellent craftsmanship, classy. None of it's like tacky or cheesy. It's all just beautiful, beautiful artistry. And they're so reasonably priced for the amount of work and labor and skill and artistry that is clearly going into them.
Absolutely.
So good. I am
Fuck yes.
hauling my keister straight over to Tenderly Bound Books.
And you should too. We're going to have the link in the episode notes to the Instagram and to her Etsy page. So pop on to Tenderly Bound Books and check out Fiona's product. This is not like a paid sponsorship. We still don't have any of those. This is out of actual love for a product. These are really gorgeous.
And if you've been like looking for that push to start journaling, I highly recommend it. It's a great way to confront your demons. It's a great way to practice writing. It's a great way to just like low stakes practice creativity. I really do think you should at least pop over, take a look at them, and tell the journalers in your life about these books.
And for writers, NaNoWriMo starts tomorrow.
Hey.
If you're not into typing, you can just handwrite that novel right into one of these tenderly bound books.
Yeah. One more thank you to Fiona.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Fiona.
For your constant support and your wonderful, again, tenderly bound books. Check them out.
Should we get back to the show?
Yeah, let's head on out.
All right. So the next one is going to be Trap.
Now it's time for us to get a little bit political.
Oh, I know. You'd prefer we keep our politics to ourselves, especially after all those letters last time.
But this is vitally important. All citizens of your town country name need to be vigilant to the coming changes.
Those hoping to gather by the river to pet the eels this weekend will be sorely disappointed. We are receiving word from Johannes Schmidt that all local eels have decided to make their spawning trip back to the Sargasso Sea. Eels are just like us.
They are just like us.
There is almost no difference between you and an eel.
Certainly no difference that would be spottable by an ambivalent observer who rejects corporeal forms as a concept.
Think about all that you have in common with eels. Don't distance yourself from the eels. Accept them as a part of you and move on.
Your life will get exponentially wigglier.
Both you and your average eel sit in the stasis of perfect prime indefinitely until you decide to enter your final phase and cave to the biological desire.
We have eels here that are almost 60 years old, joyfully pending their lives in the still river, happy to just float. Linger along.
Some have argued that the stillness qualifies our river as a pond, but those people can be discounted as they also have funny notions about something called snakes.
You are not similar to snakes.
If you want to follow these eels and perhaps watch, you will have to make your way to the mid-Atlantic.
There are no land borders, but you will recognize the regional accent and the spiraling currents buffeting the eels' bodies against each other and foisting them into their final stage of life, reproducing once before they can, at long and merciful last, decay.
Whether or not we see the return of our eels cannot be predicted.
We hope they'll be back.
Wouldn't want the river to hover in stagnation for too long.
We might see it waste away.
There are already too many twigs on the bank.
Bank.
Hello, everyone. It's come to the station's attention that there has been some misinformation spread about the chef.
It is critically important that all proper chef protocol is followed so as not to provoke lethal repercussions.
Conflicting instructions could lead to unspeakable misery, so on behalf of everyone here at WTRN, we apologize for the oversight.
That could have been dangerous.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in while we bumped gums.
We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Hope you didn't miss too much.
Now let's hear that delightful little number one more time.
Every cliff I ever been on, I've been there on my own. I've been sleeping with the light on. I guess you didn't know. There's no way out of the woods now. I've gone too deep. I live in fear of the sun now. But the night still haunts me. Broken eyes, broken hearts, watch the storm roll in. Learn the lines, play the part, let the game begin. All the world, all the while, all you ever see. To tell me where to go. Should've known that I would lose my mind the day I left the road. There's no way out of the woods now. Watch the storm roll in. Learn the lines, play the part, let the game begin. All the world, all the while, all you ever see. The last of me. The last of me. Broken eyes, broken hearts, watch the storm roll in. Learn the lines, play the part, let the game begin. All the world, all the while, all you see. The last of me. Thank you.
great. Good work.
Cool, 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 and good, and yes.
I like this energy. I feel good energies.
Yeah, I think that was our best episode yet.
Immaculate vibes.
I'm calling it here. So if you like what we do here, please feel free to follow us at Genre Blind Podcast on Instagram or individually at NEDTArt and Memento Mortsafe on Instagram and TikTok. Thank you so much for your love and support. Seriously, you guys are the coolest and you have such wonderful and interesting engagement. It makes our day every time we see it. A special thanks goes out to Fiona and Nikki and Aaron, who are our incredible patrons, our sponsors. And just one big final happy spooky season, everybody. Happy Halloween. I hope that you enjoyed October. I hope that your day is filled with all sorts of ghosts and ghouls and fun and fools and all that jazz. Genre Blind is actually going to be going on a brief hiatus during the month of November, but then we will be back and we will be ready to go ripping, roaring, slicing and dicing. Speaking of slicing and dicing, fun fact, Diggs, I just found out that formalin, the chemical often used to preserve corpses and things like cadaver dissections, actually triggers your hunger response. So a lot of medical students will find that halfway through a cadaver dissection, they get a little bit peckish. And I'm not saying that all med students are cannibals.